I'm Lates Camera Jackson. This is a new episode of the LCJ Q&A podcast. Big fan of the first Shaun the Sheep movie. Love these characters. Love what Aardman has done with stop motion animation. And now Shaun and Timmy, the whole gang, they're back with Farmageddon, a Shaun the Sheep movie. It debuts on Netflix this Friday, February 14th. Joining me right now are the directors Will Beecher and Richard Phelan. Guys, thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having us. Thank you.
You're welcome. First of all, congratulations on the Best Animated Film BAFTA nomination. The BAFTAs happened last Sunday, February the 2nd. How was it going to the show?
Oh, it was amazing. It was just a star-studded a festival of all the best things about film and British film, and we had a great time.
Good. I'm so glad. You know, Farmageddon opened in the UK back in October, and that's how it was able to get nominated for the BAFTA and qualify for that and a few other awards groups. So, Richard, how was it sort of doing one round of marketing and then taking a little break, and then you're coming back for the second round of marketing because of the BAFTAs and the Netflix release?
It's nice to have a little break in between so I can sort of revamp all my questions and answers. It's been great. It's been really enjoyable. I really enjoyed the press tour we did when it came out in October, and looking forward to share it with everyone in North America and South America.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Those who love the first movie, you're going to really enjoy Farmageddon. What I really like is that what you guys do when you have a new movie come out at Aardman is you like to bring the characters with you on your press tour. So you take them to the junket, you take them to the premiere. I know you guys were just interviewed by Graham Norton, the BAFTA host, on the radio a couple days ago, and you brought the characters there. Do you get nervous, though, Will, bringing these characters because they're so valuable? It's like, oh, we can't drop it. We can't have anything happen to them.
To be honest, it is a bit nerve-wracking, and obviously we've got to have them with us at all times, so it's a bit like being a security guard for the most famous sheep in the world, and he's got his own special case that we carry him around in, so he often causes quite a lot of interest at the sort of x-ray machine, but it's lovely to see people react to the actual Shaun the Sheep, because quite often people imagine he's bigger, you know, in real life. So when they see him and they see how detailed he is, they give us a great response.
Is there a difference you notice in how kids react versus how adults react to seeing the characters in person?
Well, the kids get really excited and the adults will regress into childhood. So it's really wonderful because I think everyone suddenly becomes a kid when they see it, because it's like the magic of toys. And they just want to sort of play with it and sort of...
Yeah, the magic of animation, the magic of toys, what you guys have been able to do is really awesome. The first Shaun movie came out in 2015, Oscar nominated for Best Animated Feature, BAFTA nominated as well. So glad we get another chapter with these guys. But this concept is a complete 180 of the first movie. Will, why did you guys decide to go sci-fi this time?
Well, it's something we'd never done before at Aardman, and that really excited us. But also, the ideas for this film started pretty much as soon as the first film had come out, and it had just done its rounds at the cinemas, and there was a lot of love for it, as you suggested. Mm. So we knew that there was an appetite for a feature-length sequel. And the thing was, we wanted to make the world feel bigger and go somewhere we hadn't been before, but also find a new character that we could bring into the stories. And so this idea about aliens, it came from a mixture of people, but largely from the creator of the series, Richard Starzak. He was heavily involved in sort of coming up with the initial idea. It sort of fits really well with the farmstead, farms and cornfields, and just that sense of, you know, the wilderness. We thought it could work really well as a comedy.
It does, because you have so many laughs with this theme. There are so many details, oh my gosh, when it comes to references to the X-Files and references to E.T. and references to 2001. Richard, what kinds of research do you guys do to get all those really, really funny details just right?
Well, we're all huge fans of sci-fi at Aardman, and so it became a sort of, the whole crew got excited about this. So there was literary references to H.G. Wells. We watched tons of films, everything from sort of 1950s, sort of like The Day the Earth Stood Still, kind of sort of B-movies, up until sort of Arrival and Interstellar. We just sort of immersed ourselves in it. And then the real case became as, well, how can we make it funny and how can we find jokes in these things, sort of like gentle ribbing of the genre we love.
You guys pull it off so well. Yeah, love all those references. Everybody's going to be able to pick them out over the course of the film. And when it comes to the alien creature herself, Lula, she's so cute and adorable and has a great spirit to her. What was the process like, Will, in designing her look and designing her tone?
Well, we knew we had a bit of a challenge because Sean and the rest of the characters are so iconic and everyone knows them so well. So we had an open brief to start with, and we had all sorts of model makers, art department. Everyone had a go at designing what their alien might look like. And really it was a case of picking the elements we felt worked best. But ultimately it boiled down to one of the story team who drew a sort of Roswell-style UFO, and that formed the shape of Lula's head, and then this rocket thrust underneath, coming out as a sort of triangle shape underneath. We loved that because it was really classic, really clear, but also it gave us this sort of childlike element to her. So really from that point on, we had a shape to work with. We wanted to add lots of mystery and color. So the next thing we did was work with the art department and model team to try and create a sort of a brand new look for this character. So she's much brighter. She's got things like glitter, for example, in her ears to just make her stand out and make her feel like she's from a different world. But ultimately, always going back to the fact that she's got this classic Aardman sort of big eyes, wide, smiley mouth, and you can see the thumbprints and the sort of craft and the love that go into her.
Yeah, she's right in line with what you guys do. Absolutely. There's a specific scene in Farmageddon where you keep the camera steady, you keep it aimed in this food mart, and Lula is just going off the wall in the food mart. It is so funny. It is so unpredictable. Richard, how did you pull off that scene?
That scene took an entire year to shoot.
Oh my gosh.
All the animators, we gave them the puppet and said, go crazy, try different things out. So they were seeing how they could bend it and break it. And then one of the animators, they took the armature out so they could squash all the plasticine flat. And then they just kept sort of experimenting with this and sort of coming with different ideas to basically energize her sort of beyond sort of any human movement. And then we just made a sort of like best hits compilation cut of all the animation tests. And then the animator who did it, he sort of went through those and then cherry picked the best ones. And then, yeah, like I said, it took him a whole year to shoot that scene.
Wow. But it paid off. Yeah, I think I'm still blown away. I know a lot about the world of stop motion. I'm still blown away by the fact that that took a year. That is nuts. Wow. Will and Richard are joining me right now on the LCJ Q&A, the directors of the brand new Shaun the Sheep film, Farmageddon. The timing is so good when it comes to the comedy. You chuckle multiple times a minute, pretty much every minute. Is there a moment, do you ever find yourself, you're literally working on a scene, you're working on something, but then you come up with something better in terms of the comedy and you really got to adjust the animation and adjust what you got to do?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we're refining all the way through the process. So we try and start with a funny scenario, and we spend a long time just in the story process trying to find what would be the best situation to put Bitsa or Sean into. And Lula, for example, in the supermarket, we try and get those scenarios working first of all. But then all the way through storyboarding and then the animation testing, we're constantly trying to refine those jokes. And there's so many layers to the jokes. So, you know, the art department will add jokes in the background. Sometimes just on the day that we're going to shoot, someone will come up with a great idea. And Rich and I will always try and put in the funniest thing we can find. So we'll definitely reinvent it at the last minute. If we have to pause a scene because we thought of a new gag, we'll do such. And we act everything out as well. So in terms of that timing, you know, we're just trying to look at the masters like Charlie Chaplin and Buster Keaton, just to see how they nailed that physical comedy so well. And we use that as sort of influence sometimes.
Yeah, there's so many things you spot in the background. Kids and adults will be able to pick out all that stuff. And in the final act, there's a signal tower that becomes a really key element. It looks large when you watch the movie, especially in the proportions of the characters. How big is that tower in real life?
It was huge. We make the film in a sort of huge warehouse on the edge of Bristol, and the tower is so big we have to lie on its side to shoot on it, to sort of stand up, it would go through the roof. And so the whole thing is sort of, all the cameras are on their side. It's a sort of bit of a sort of crazy thing to look at for the animators, but we cut the tower into three sections. So animators could work at the top of the tower, some could work in the middle, and others could work at the base, depending on where we were in the story. And then we built a miniature of the whole set so that we could shoot the big wides as well.
Wow. That sounds really complicated but fascinating. I'm going to have to go back and watch that scene again, that section towards the end, and look at all that. Was that whole, you know, the phenomenon with the aliens that the farmer goes through and the carnival he creates in the backyard, was that really one of the most complex sets you guys have ever had to build on one of these projects?
I'd say pretty much all the sets we did on this were brand new one-offs, and we really did make it complex for ourselves. I mean, the underground base is the largest set we've ever made and contained the most elements and the most characters. And then on top of that, we decided to shoot a chase sequence in the middle of it. So we had, I think, four or five set pieces like that that involved these huge chases. And they all pushed the limits of what our teams and our departments have done before.
Wow. But yeah, you pull it off, absolutely. And I know you guys have been at Aardman for a long time, and there is another highly anticipated sequel in the works at Aardman, and that is Chicken Run 2. Any details that you guys can share about Chicken Run 2?
It's got chickens in it. No, we've just started. It's very early on. All I can say, there are chickens in it. Hopefully you'll see some of your favorites from the first film, and that's all I can say.
We're all really excited by it, though. It's really nice to get those characters back again. You know, they were so loved around the world, and it's nice to see them again.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Chicken Run, when it came out 20 years ago, it revolutionized stop motion and Aardman and everything all over the globe. So yeah, very excited for Chicken Run 2. And, you know, this time next year, you've got the 2021 Academy Awards. I know Netflix received two nominations this year in the animated feature category. Are you guys prepared to talk about Farmageddon for an entire another year?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
We're there, right? We'll be anywhere you need us to be, because we would love for the American audience to see Farmageddon in that light and see it on the big screen, you know, and see it
at the Academy Awards.
At the awards, yeah.
Oh, I hope it gets there, because it's really fun, and like the first film, it's really sweet and the details come through. Farmageddon, a Shaun the Sheep movie. It debuts this Friday, February 14th, on Netflix. Friday is Valentine's Day, and families will love this movie, so that is perfect. Will and Richard, thank you so much for being on the LCJ Q&A today.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for having us.
I'm Lights, Camera, Jackson. For more, go to lights-camera-jackson.com and the podcast section there, as well as Podbean, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. See you next time.